and welcome back to yet another episode of Spiritual Elevation. I am Savvy Speaks, your host and the co-pilot of this flight. If this is your first time flying on Spiritual Elevation, welcome. This is a podcast where we journey through spiritual principles on how to effectively walk with Christ. If you look to your left and if you look to your right, you may see theological misunderstandings and false doctrines, but don't worry, we're going to get you out of there. All right, so while you are on this flight, please buckle in. Expect turbulence, expect conviction, and expect repentance. We're flying high. So today I have a very, very, very special guest. I'm going to go ahead and lay it down before I even let her reintroduce herself because she's been here before. If you are following us from season one, when we were everything under the sun and that's under without an E, we spoke on ADHD, children, the damaging effects of social media, and we really got into the nitty gritty, okay? So I just want to let you know that this girl, she's going to come with the facts. Not only is she somebody who writes papers in APA, she's going to bring her sources, okay? So if it's just scripture, hey, bro, we're going to be talking to scripture. I'm just going to say that. But I'm going to go ahead and pass it to her. And Krista, would you mind introducing yourself, please?
Yes, hi. My name is Krista Bellman. I am in my senior year, my developmental psychology degree at Liberty University. I'm getting an associate's degree in biblical studies. So I'm a Bible nerd. And I believe that science and scripture go hand in hand. They are not opposing factors. Let's see. I've been walking with the Lord for almost 10 years. Just celebrated my 9th spiritual birthday a couple months ago. And so, like, I've been walking with the Lord. I take my walk with Him very seriously. And, yeah, I don't play about Jesus. Jesus will play about me.
Okay. And she is not lying about that. She does not play about Jesus. Okay. So, like I said in the intro, buckle down because the conviction and the repentance, she's the type of person that's going to give it to you straight. As the Holy Ghost gives it, she just gives it. So, you know what I'm saying? Buckle in your seats because this is going to be an amazing ride. So, one of the traditions that we brought over from Everything Under the Sun was that we like to share the weather because we're on a flight. We want to know how the weather is doing. Okay, so I'll share mine. And Crystal, you can also share yours if you would like. I'm currently in Louisville, Kentucky. And so the high right now is 78 degrees and the low is 56. So it's that type of weather where you got to put on a jacket in the morning, take it off during the day, you know, but it is hot over here, not under the sun, on Spiritual Elevation. What is the weather like where you're at, Krista?
I am in Atlanta, Georgia. The high is 80, the low is 52.
Ooh.
It's definitely wear a jacket or a light thin material throughout the day because it's still a little windy.
It's hot over there on Spiritual Elevation. Awesome. Yeah. So before we even get into our topic, you know that we would love to bless this conversation. And so, Krista, I'm going to actually ask you, can you bless us?
Open us up in prayer?
Yes, please.
All righty. Lord God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to just come together and to discuss today's topic. Oh God, I pray that your heart will be made known here, oh God, that we will speak with conviction, we will speak with the word at the center, we will speak with the mind, we will have compassion on the listeners, oh God. I pray that it will be exactly as you have given it to us, oh God, that we will not sugarcoat, that we will not water down, that we will not twist and turn your word to make ourselves or those feel better. I pray that your presence will be made known in each and every listener's room, vehicle, wherever they are going to hear this message, oh God. I thank you that your word is going to. Thank you that your word is coming out of us, and I thank you that you are going to be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen. So today's topic, if you have tuned in to the previous, like last two episodes, they have a common thread, and that is politics and the coming elections. The elections are in less than a month, and very soon we're going to know who the president of, who the next president is going to be. Now, I've shared my personal revelations, and I've also had another friend share her personal revelations, but amongst my group of very spiritual, very Christian, very like love the Lord and nothing else people, I wanted my friend Krista to come and share her revelations and what God has also told her about the times and about the revelation, about the election. So, Krista, I'm just going to pass it on to you. What is something that you want to share with this generation and our listeners about the coming election?
The thing that has been resonating with me and has been coming to my mind the last couple of days is that this is a spiritual election. This is not about your favorite person. This is not about your favorite team. This is not about if you are Democratic or if you are a Republican or if you are, you know, a bystander. It's not about any of that. This is a spiritual matter. And so we are to look at it from a spiritual lens. This is not something that we can do in our flesh and with our carnality. We have to stand on the word of God. And we have to understand that this is part of that spiritual war that's talked about in Ephesians 6. And so we can't go into it with our flesh and with what we feel comfortable with, but we really have to sit before God and we really have to say, Lord, what do you want? What are you showing me? And what is best for this nation?
Yeah. Period. So it comes with praying. It comes with seeking counsel. It comes with reading the policies for yourself. Because I do know a lot of us, we kind of give into the marketing tactics and the marketing strategies of, you know, the ads that pop up on every single YouTube video or the algorithm. But I always encourage young people, especially those who are voting for the first time or you have no idea what anything about politics, I always tell them, go and read the policies for yourself, but also try to make understanding of it. What is it? How does it affect you? What does that mean for your community? And then once you get an understanding of that, what is God saying about the matter? Because the laws can be saying one thing, but then God understands the future of the country and what those laws are going to do for the country. And so, yeah, I mean, just wanted to lay down that foundation. But in regards to the candidates, particularly, what revelations have you come across? What are the prophets saying? What have you experienced?
Yeah, so I will say the revelation that I got was about 5-6 years ago. So this is not something new. This is not something that has been influenced by other people that I have seen on social media, by other people who have the title of a prophet, apostle, pastor, a teacher, whatever the case may be. It was during a fast that I did back in 2018, 2019, and I was just seeking the Lord for his will in general. We were getting ready to come up on another election. And so I was asking the Lord, this is the first time I'm really voting. How should I vote? How should I do this? And I remember seeing so much hate all over social media. And so I was starting to be influenced by it. Put everything down. I said, Lord, what is this? And I had a dream. I had a series of dreams over the course of like a month and a half where he was showing pillars that he was putting up and how it was going to be a time of revival. It was going to be a time where he was really giving us as a people an opportunity to choose who we're going to serve, how it was going to be a time and a season where he was drawing a line in the sand. Like, these are the people who are truly for me. These are the people who are against me, not because of who you vote for, but how you go about your heart posture mm-hmm. in voting. And so I was like, okay, Lord, who is it? Who do I vote for? Because at the time it was Trump and Biden. He was like, vote for Trump. I said,
What's that? Come again?
Come again? I was like, as a young Black woman, it does not benefit me in my culture in any way to vote for this man. And the Lord started showing me how I cannot look at it from an outward perspective. I cannot look at his actions. Yes, actions speak louder than words, but God also has a plan. He also has an understanding. And so that's the way I was instructed to vote. And then I said, okay, Lord, I need you to tell me. I need you to confirm. And I started getting confirmations. I started seeing a lot of other people in my circle, in my close circle. Sabrina was one of those people a couple years later, actually, around the election. But she was one of those people who the Lord was confirming it through her, confirming it through Taylor, who was on here. I want to say she was on the last episode, confirming it through people who I knew personally. And then I started seeing things in the church. And then I started saying things just with other people of God. So it was as though God was saying something to the body. And so I listened.
Girl, no, that's the tea. I feel like a lot of us were like, come again. I rebuke you, devil. I rebuke you. Because I also had a revelation. Like, this was I don't even know what year it was. I think it was slightly before the last election between Trump and Biden. And mind you, like, okay, so I was in high school when Trump was president for the first time. And girl, the bandwagon, we all hated him. And, you know, it made sense because the man has a very poor track record. I was like, he's an economist. He's not a president. It doesn't make sense for him to do this. He has all these criminal offenses against him. It just didn't make sense. So I rode that bandwagon of hating this man because naturally he wasn't a good person, or he's not a good person. Cool. And I remember this was my sophomore year in college. I remember specifically this was during COVID time. And I remember that the Lord was like, first of all, it was wrong for me to hate him. And, you know, God is a God of love. So he's never going to support you to hate someone, even if they are wrong or very, very sinful. So I'm like, God, that's weird that you don't want me to hate this man. Cool. But then God was also like, I want you to take a step back from what everybody is saying, from what everyone is saying about him, what the news is saying about him. And when I was able to really like step out of the general consensus of who Donald Trump is, God was showing me some real stuff. The revelation was just that I'm going to use this man. And the type of Christian I am is like, okay, God, at the end of the day, your will be done. So if you tell me to do the most craziest thing is given Abraham, I might just have to go to Mount Moriah Mount Moriah and kill my son. If that's, you know, what it is, it's not going to make sense. It's not going to be out of his own administration. It's not going to be because the government placed him there. But whenever he is serving a second term, then know that it was God. And so I think for me, it was really affirming to know that there were other people who put God's word over their personal political beliefs or their identity as a Black woman or as a Black man. That is something that I feel like God was telling me. And so I feel affirmed in knowing that he also gave you that revelation as well.
Yeah, because I was definitely on that bandwagon. Like, no, because he got elected my sophomore year of high school. And so sophomore going into junior year, I was terrified. I had seen all this stuff, you know, the way they advertise things on social media, how they force feed what they want you to hear.
Yeah.
And so, a good amount of what was said was true, came out of his own.
Yeah.
But the way things were twisted as well did not make it any better. And I remember the day he was elected, watching the inauguration, watching everything take place, and crying and being like, God, how could you let somebody like this in office? How could you let this happen? And I was also in a position where I was old enough to understand what was happening, but I wasn't old enough to vote. And I remember saying to God, I'm like, this is a lose-lose situation for people who look like me. This is a lose-lose situation. So how do we go forward with this? How do we go forward? Because it's not just that, you know, I'm a Black woman, but I also deal with a lot of health issues that they did not want to support on either side. So I'm like, okay, Lord, what does this say about people who are like me in general? How am I supposed to go forward with this? And so there was a lot of like just misunderstanding and anger in my heart. I was like, God, what are we going to do? How are we going to do it? And then the thing that he kept saying when he brought up the dreams that I was having years later is that, who are you to tell me who I can and cannot use? And I was just like, but you know what? You're right. You got and I'm not. And so he's like, who are you to tell me who I can and cannot use? And how many people have I used in the kingdom that have been disqualified by everybody else because of their past? And he started to bring up people in the Bible that he used. He's like, I use Paul, I use Moses, I use Cyrus, I use all these different kings, I use all these different people who are not qualified. Abraham literally worshipped pagan gods. Like, he was not a Christian when God called him. And God's like, if you can change their heart, why can't I change his? And I was like, okay, God, you can. Now, I still was like, you said it. You got it. I'm not. And so this has been an act of obedience, a prolonged act of obedience for me, not because I see everything that God is doing, but I trust him enough to know that his word is true. And then it's been said throughout, the same thing has been said for the last 8 years. Something's got to be going on. And like you were saying, Serena, like whenever he is back in office, it will be an only God did it type of situation.
Yeah.
And so I do believe that this time we're going to see, well, all the odds were stacked. Everything that was said, everything that had happened, there was only God did this.
Right.
And I'm at peace knowing that he's going to do whatever he deems best and that he's giving us grace.
Yeah. Very much so. And I feel like God is the type of God who you really can't put God in a box, because sometimes what we do as humans is we see God the way we see ourselves. And so you think that just because you got a problem with somebody that God's going to smite them. And God is like, no, they're still my child. And so in the same way, sometimes we don't think that God will do certain things that we won't do. And one of the things that he told me is that I use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. That's what really turned me around, because I was like, oh my gosh, like, so you're not denying that, you know, this is good. It's incomprehensible. A lot of people would say it's a foolish decision. Like, even if we were to go out and be like, yeah, vote for Trump, they're gonna be like, who the heck are these two black girls talking about voting for this Trump? You know, so God was telling me, I will use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. I will use methods and ways that don't even make sense. The fact that there are so many criminal charges against the guy, there's this stacked up against him, all of this stacked up, but watch when it happens. It's going to be like, no, this, people are going to say it was rigged. They're going to say whatever. But God is saying that the odds were stacked up against, so I can show you how I operate. I don't operate by the standards that you place on yourselves or on each other. I'm outside of time. I'm outside of space. And so if you can't comprehend me, so that's really, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Heavy on that. You can't comprehend me. Just because, like, all these things have happened, nobody would come to this conclusion on their own. No one would come to this conclusion on their own, given the history. But the thing that keeps coming up to my mind, the thing that God keeps using for me, is I changed you, didn't I? And it's just like, woo. And like, you see in scripture how many times he has turned a heart around. How many times he has taken a person that everybody's like, there is no way God could ever use you. Those seem to be his favorite ones to pick. Like, he's like, oh, everybody cutting you out. Everybody's saying, I can't use you. Let me show them how powerful I am. Let me show them how gracious of a God that I am. And it just doesn't make sense. One thing God has been telling me for as long as I've been walking with him is like, you cannot use logic to reason with me. Because like you said, I am outside of time, space, everything. Like, you cannot use human understanding to understand. He tells us that his ways are higher than his ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So like, what can we do to comprehend him?
Nothing. Yep.
Nothing. And I just have to really look at my life and look at where I have been. Look at where my close family has been, friends, everyone that I know that God has done a work in. And who am I to say that he can't use them? Because I am putting God in a box if I am saying that God can't use this man, God can't use this person, not just outside of the election in general, just people.
Yeah.
Who am I to say that God cannot do them? I'm limiting his power and I'm putting him in a box. And then one thing that convicted me, I want to say I saw it on like a podcast with the Perrys, but if I'm asking God to smite them down, I got to keep that same energy for myself.
Jeez.
So they are people who are in need of the same salvation, the same God, and the same grace that I am in need of. Who am I to go and tell God to give to smite them down, to give them anger, to give them rage, to remove the grace that he's giving me off of them, and then tell him not to do that for me, though? Like, you know, you smite them down because they are sinning against you, but you continue to cover me in my grace when I'm sinning against you.
Wow.
And he's like, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way.
No, it does not. Kind of even tying back into the God doesn't hate who you hate. Like, if anything, we should hate what God hates, but God does not necessarily hate who we hate. And it brings me to the book of Daniel and King Nebuchadnezzar. He was a wicked king. Bro, the thing about this king, he had a nightmare, a dream he could not comprehend. He calls all the wise men, say to the person, you tell me my dream that I had and interpret it. Not killing all y'all. What? Bro, for me, like, bro, when I read it, I was like, this does not make sense. You're telling me, okay, to tell you the dream that you slept and dreamt, now I got to interpret it. And if I don't get it, you're going to kill me. So
right.
Something like that shows you the wickedness of man. He could kill anybody any second, but God still used Daniel to turn him around. Now, when you read through the book of Daniel, you see that Nebuchadnezzar had so many encounters with God, and God had to humble him multiple times. Truly, I believe it's because Daniel was in his court. I really believe that God had favor on Daniel, so God kept using Daniel to speak to King Nebuchadnezzar. For example, there was one specific encounter where Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and whenever Daniel interpreted it, he said that God is telling you that you have this very amazing kingdom that God has given you. You are not giving the honor to him, so God is going to make you like an animal. Bruh, within a year, the dream came to pass where he was like a madman. His nails grew long, his hair grew long, he started eating like an animal. And Daniel had told him prior that whenever you are able to recognize that God is sovereign over everything, including your kingdom, you will gain your senses back. Finally, there came a point in time where he came back to his senses, and it took God making a man like an animal for him to even understand that, oh my gosh, God is really, really God. And so even applying it to this whole election situation, I believe if God can turn someone like King Nebuchadnezzar and humble him to the lowest degree, I believe that God can do the same thing for Donald Trump. Mind you, I think the strategy that God did was put Bible believing, well, he was a Jew at the time, so he was a devout Jew. Daniel was a devout Jew in the court of King Nebuchadnezzar. I believe that in this day, God will put Bible-believing Christians in the court of Donald Trump so that they can speak the word of God to him to execute what the Lord wants to be done.
Yeah, amen. Amen, amen, amen. As you were talking, it made me think about Daniel 2:21. It says, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Like, Daniel was just obedient to God. He was not afraid to stand out. He was not afraid to do what God had called him to do. And the favor that was upon Daniel was wherever Daniel went. And so Nebuchadnezzar got some of that favor. But as you were talking about Nebuchadnezzar's story and how he was turned, like, he literally started living like an animal. That's crazy.
Yeah.
God had to take him to that, the lowest degree. The lowest degree. And the thing that came to my mind was Trump. When he got shot the
first time.
I remember seeing a video that had gone out maybe 3 or 4 months prior to that. And it was a man. I don't remember what network he was on. He was being interviewed, though. And he was telling the person who was interviewing him about a dream that he had had where Donald Trump was getting shot. He described that to a T. The exact way the assassination attempt happened was in his dream. 3 to 4 months before it happened. I want to say he had this interview, it went out in like February, March of this year. He got shot several months later. There is no way that he could have known what was going to happen without God giving him insight and understanding. And he talked about how that was going to be a time where it was supposed to take him out, but it didn't. That bullet grazed his ear. If he did not turn when he did, it would have gotten him in the face or in the neck. He would not have been here anymore. And in the prophetic dream that the man was having, he said that was when he got down on his knees and God began to like show him, I am real. I am exactly who I have said I am for all these years. And to my understanding, Trump grew up in a Christian household. That does not mean that makes you a Christian. We know that very clearly.
Yeah.
However, the Bible does say raise a child up in the way that they should go. And they will not depart from it. And there have even been things that have gone out about him when he was like on, what was that TV show he used to have where like people, The Apprentice or something like that, where people would with him. There were even pastors who were giving words that were very similar to the dream that that man had. Not necessarily about an assassination attempt, but about how there was going to be something radical that took place in his life and how that was going to be the wake up call that he needed. Because it's no, like anybody with eyes to see and ears to hear could understand and know that Trump has said a lot of things that will rile up a Christian and get them to like, yes, yes, you're a man of God, but we also have to know our word. We also have to know what God says. And we can't just let anybody with Christian jargon pull our ear and make us think that they are of God. However, with that being said, like God can do whatever he chooses to do. The same way that Nebuchadnezzar had to understand that God was sovereign, Trump has to understand that God is sovereign. And I do believe that there are people who are in better positions to be used by God than others. I do believe there are people whose heart is not as hardened. Therefore, they are more malleable and God can use them more. He's not going to force himself on anybody. Yeah. But if that door is open, he will begin to take those steps whenever you allow him to. And I'm not saying Trump is a Christian. I am not saying Kamala is not a Christian. I cannot speak for them. I cannot speak for their faith. I can look at the fruit and I can tell you what I think. And neither one of them are bearing fruit that I am a Christian. Never. However, I do believe that Trump is in a position, or God is molding him to be in a position to at least be open to be used by him. My prayer is that both of them come out of all the wickedness that they are in. My prayer is that both of them become blood-bought, born-again believers, and that we will look at them in the next 10, 15 years like, you said, ain't no way. That's my prayer for both of them. But I'm saying all this to say that I do believe there are people who are in positions to be used by God because their heart isn't as hardened.
Right. And as you were speaking, I feel like the revelation, I feel like one thing that God is going to use in Donald Trump is his unapologetic nature. Because that's one thing that God gravitates towards a lot in the Bible is people who are unapologetic. Now, there are some people who are very unapologetic in their sin. Saul was like, yeah, I was holding the Pharisees' coats while they were stoning Christians. Yeah, I did that. He was very unapologetic even in doing wrong. And he saw that and was like, I'm going to use that for my kingdom. And so I feel like even kind of bringing it back to the Christian aspect, sometimes we look at people and we think like, dang, they have like really bad character. They're very persistent. They're very manipulative. They're very this. And God is like, that's exactly what I want. But I want it for my kingdom so that I could use it for influence, so that I could use it to grow, so that I could use it for positive, just for a positive outcome. And so even dealing with Donald Trump, I believe that God is saying, I want that unapologetic nature to do something about that, especially with the way that the world is going and with other countries, with other nations. You can't be a wishy-washy leader. You can't be a leader that bows down or says what another leader wants to hear. Like, no, you need to stand on your principles and stand ground on what you claim. And I do believe that God is going to use Donald Trump in that sense. Because if he says something, yeah, he's going to say it here. If it's good here, it's good. He's not going to switch it up. He's going to say what he's going to say. And so I feel like that's one of the things that just came to mind as you were speaking.
Yeah. God is not a man that he should lie and go back on his word. We love the good old Numbers 2019. But yeah, like God is not going to switch up his mind. The thing that kept coming to my mind is like, what is stubbornness and sin is steadfastness in the kingdom of God. So like before I get violent to the Lord, people are like, you are, Krista is very stubborn. She is very stuck in her ways. But I was also one of those people that when I felt like something was right, you were not going to get me to move off of it whatsoever. And so what was stubbornness in my sin is steadfastness in the Holy Spirit. And so like now when God gives me a word, when God tells me I am going to do something, you can't get me off of it. You can't get me off of it. And Sabrina, she knows. She can't get me off of it.
And is stubborn and steadfast.
But like stubbornness comes from, like stubbornness is rooted in the spirit of rejection. They go hand in hand. Those things, stubbornness is not a fruit of the spirit. It is a fruit of the flesh. And so when God changes you, when God turns you around, he can take a person that was stubborn in their sin and make them steadfast in the Lord. Because if you can be 10 toes down for your sin and for everything that goes against the Lord, you should be able to be a born again Christian and be 10 toes down for everything that God says in his kingdom. And so like the thought that was coming to my mind is that things that tend to be problematic when you are in your sin, God cultivates. And the only reason it's problematic is because it's not submitted. It's not submitted thing. It's being ruled by your flesh. The Holy Spirit does not have a way to come in and say, hey, actually, this is what you're doing is really good, but the way you're going about it is bad. We need to change that up. We need to have compassion. We need to be kind. We need to be gentle. We need to be patient. And so there are qualities in every single individual that I believe that go for their towards that purpose that help them become the person that God has called them to be. But when that is not submitted to God, when that is not under God's tutelage, It runs rampant and it causes problems when it's really supposed to improve the kingdom, expand it, and be its digital grace.
Mm-hmm. But I even feel like believers need to take that seriously, because oftentimes we hear about people who are church hurt, people who feel judged, people who are like, I mean, I feel like we've all done it. I can say that I've definitely judged people. And it's like, God loves that person and that quality that we hate, because he is able to turn that thing around. And I think we need to be very careful when we do judge people, because oftentimes it's the things that we hate that God loves, you know? And sometimes we do get to project our insecurities onto people because we're just like, oh my gosh, why do they talk so much? Oh my gosh, they always trying to fight somebody's battle. Oh my gosh, why are they so outspoken? But God is like, you don't like that because you're this way. But I love that because I get to use that for my good. You wouldn't do this for another person, but they would be very out loud and outspoken to help another person. And so there are oftentimes I do have to check myself, because I realize everyone has a different personality, whether they're in the kingdom or not. Everyone goes about things a certain way. And God is like, don't be so quick to judge, because that thing that you hate or that flaw that you keep pointing out in another person is the exact thing that I'm using to turn their life around and to bring people into the kingdom. And so I feel like Christians everywhere should take heed onto how they look at other people, how they look at other people's flaws, and even how they view people's sins. Because sometimes we see things and we're like, that's a sin. But God's like, no, it's not the way you would like it, but I'm going to use it and turn that person around.
Yeah. Amen. It's just like, there are certain things, like you gave an example, like, why are you always trying to fight somebody's battles? Why are you always standing up for them? And I thought about several people that I know whose name literally means warrior. It means brave. It means protector. And so, like, it's part of their nature. It can be annoying when you don't understand. But, like, it makes me think about how all of this is spiritual in nature. And so, like, we may not like their personality. And there are a lot of things that each and every one of us needs to take and be like, you know what, God? Help me improve. Help me to be better. But I think it's so easy for us to point the finger at people who are in the spotlight and say, well, they're doing this and they're doing that. And there's no way God could use them. But behind closed doors, we're doing a lot of those same things, if not more.
Wow.
We claim to have a relationship with God, and we're saying, well, Lord, you know, use me. But then we give him limited access to what he can and cannot do in our hearts. So it's like you are pointing out the plank or the speck in their eye, like in your own eye.
Yeah.
This is a very sensitive time in the spirit in general. We have entered into So the Hebrew New Year just passed at the beginning of this month, and it's 5785. And it's a year that represents grace upon grace. And so you have to, you speak God's word and you watch God's word come to pass because of the grace that is on it. And so if we are in a time where what you say matters, not in the whole manifesting this, but God is really saying, you speak my word, you see my word around you. When you allow my kingdom to explode and you see the kingdom of heaven around you. And so this is a very sensitive time. If God is pouring out his grace and he is elevating people, if he's saying, like, the seeds that I planted in this season are blossoming this season, this is a time of harvest, the enemy is going to attack that. And so we can't allow the distractions of the world to get in the way of that. We have to look at everything through a spiritual lens, because scripture tells us that the things that we see are controlled by the things that we cannot see. Yeah. So if there is so much division, if there is so much hate, if there is this big bandwagon, we should take a step back as believers and say, okay, why is it so popular? Why is it so popular to hate this man? Or why is it such a popular thing for people to bash on her? Like, look at both sides of the story, not just what you favor, because I'm not a person who claims a political party. I'm not a person who idolizes individuals. I'm not here for that. They all have to stand before God and have the same judgment that I have. So I'm not putting anything in. But I will say that we have to take a step back and say, okay, God, why is this the common trend? What is it that the enemy does not want me to see? And what is it that you do want them to see? So if you got to go on a fast to do it, go on a fast to do it. Put your flesh to death. Don't say, Holy Spirit, speak. And quiet your emotions, quiet how you feel about it, and really allow the Lord to speak to you. Because there are things that we miss when we think our opinion outweighs God's sovereignty. And so we have to just sit down and be like, okay, well, I may not like it. However, I do see things changing.
Yeah.
And as believers, our job is to pray for the leaders. It is our job to go before God, to say, okay, Lord, this is what's being said. This is what's happening. These are the policies. What do you say about this? I'm submitting it to your feet because you're the only person that has the power to change all this. I can vote. I can do this, which you should. You should vote as a believer. You should exercise your right to vote. But our vote is not what really changes things. It's going to the Lord, praying, laying it at his feet and saying, God, have your way. Touch his heart. Touch his party's heart. Touch Kamala's heart. Like, go on both sides and pray for every single individual involved that the Lord will have his way and that your heart will be offered towards those people. Because at the end of the day, you don't know them, but they are in a position that comes with a lot of power, a lot of access to excess, a lot of temptation, a lot of people in their ear.
And
how many people are in their ear telling them things of God? How many people are there for them because they love them and not what they can do for them? How lonely could they feel? How abandoned could they feel? All the things that we deal with in our personal lives that we don't think people on a higher platform deal with. They need God's salvation just as much as you do. And so we can't come from a place of hatred. We have to pray for these people. The Lord will reveal his heart for them. And you will have compassion for them. We don't know them well enough to have beef with them anyway.
Yeah.
We are to speak life over people. We are to pray for them. And we are to allow the Lord to give us what to say.
Yeah. No, I'm really glad that you said that, because the prayer aspect is something that was just really in my mind. Because at the end of this, I definitely want us to pray for them both. But you had mentioned something about when you like really take it to God, he gives you his heart for those people. He gives you compassion, because some people just honestly cannot even fathom voting for Donald Trump because of the stuff that he's done. They can't even like bring themselves to it, even if they wanted to. And you mentioned like God will give you compassion. And I feel like that's what we're dealing with in deciding to do the Lord's will and voting for a particular person that you and your personal values do not align with. You do not have to all of a sudden become a whole Republican or become a whole Democrat. You do not have to agree with every single policy that the person is trying to do. And that's one of the things that the Lord was telling me, is like, just because I'm saying this about this person don't mean that now you got to start supporting the stuff, the ignorance, because there is no perfectly Christian political party. There are some things that like the Democratic Party will bless you with. There are some things that the Republican Party will bless you with. There is no Jesus Party. If there was, man, all the Christians would vote for the Jesus Party.
Come on.
But even in the encouragement that I want to give people who are very much on the fence of like, okay, God, I feel like you're telling me to do this, but I don't agree with the policies. One of the things that God wanted me to encourage those people who are on the fence about is, although you are voting, you still have a power to vote on a more local level. There are certain things and amendments that are trying to come to pass, but you have the power to decide what passes and what doesn't in your local community. So right now, I'm currently in Kentucky, and I've been seeing signs that say no to Amendment 2, right? And Amendment 2 in Kentucky right now is, what they're trying to do is take government money from public schools and give it to private schools, right? Go according to what God wants you to do in your local bodies. Right. So if you don't believe that money should be taken from the public schools to be given to the private schools, then vote no. Like, just because, let's say Donald Trump is trying to do something and whatever he's trying to do would make you say yes on a local level, you don't have to do that. I hope I'm not even like contradicting myself, but in the sense of, go with what God wants you to do. And even in your local body, you still have power to change laws. You still have power to make a change. And so we shouldn't just put everything on the presidential, because honestly, you have more say in your local gathering. You have more power when you go to these meetings and you're speaking up for what is right. And you're saying, no, I don't agree with this. Yes, I agree with this. So I really am hoping that God empowers his Christians, his believers, to start taking a stand and actually getting into stuff. Because a lot of us don't know nothing about politics other than what's on social media, what's on CNN. And we can't, at this point, we can't even trust the media. So honestly speaking, get involved. Start learning for the, what year are we in? We're in 2024. Start learning for the 2028 election, so that when that time comes around, you're not going to be, you know, in the dust about anything that's going on.
Amen, amen, amen. Like, one, everybody's up for re-election this year. Senate, Congress, presidential, local government, everybody's up for re-election this year. The Congress and the Senate have a lot of power. The president doesn't just get to come into office and say, this is what I want, so this is what's done. Everybody collectively works together to pass things in your local area, your state, your county, all that stuff, and then passing bills and different laws. Those things don't just happen because the president wants them to happen. So look into the people who are up for re-election. Look for the people who are running for the first time. Look at their character. Look at their policies. Prayerfully decide with God what is best. We have an, what's the word I'm looking for? We have an advantage in the kingdom of God that most people do not have.
Yeah.
We have the Holy Spirit talking directly to us. He said, if you seek me, you will find me. If you search me with your whole heart, I will speak to you. I will come to you with this election as well. Because like I said before, this is a spiritual thing. You cannot look at it through a carnal lens. 2 Kings like 17 through 19 or 17 to 20. And it's basically, the rundown is Hezekiah takes up being king and the Assyrians come and they attack. And they're taunting him and they're taunting the people of Israel. And they're like, oh, this, your king can't protect you. Hezekiah takes the report of the Assyrians to the Lord and lets the Lord work it out. We can take the report. We can take the policies to the Lord and saying, God, this person has been made known to be the best fit. Their policies are not lining up with what you say you want to do. So do a work in their heart. Change that thing around. The things that they really want, if that's not of you, change their desires. Give them new desires. Don't let these laws get passed. Influence them and provide people around them, da, da, da. And you to do your research. And you have to allow the Holy Spirit to show you what is right and what is true. I am not here to say you better vote for this person and you better not vote against this individual. Right. But I am here to say, if you say that you are a born again believer, your responsibility is prayer first.
Yeah.
All Christians are called to intercede. Yeah. All Christians are called to take the report to the Lord. If we don't do our part, then we can't sit here and point the finger and say, God didn't move. He works through us and with us. So we have to do our part. And that's not just voting. That's prayer, intercession, fasting, preparation. The whole nine yards.
Bosh. Amen. I think you said it all right there. You said about prayer earlier, praying for our leaders. It's really, really important. And I want to go ahead and even do that now. And so would you mind lifting up a prayer for Donald Trump? And I could also pray for Kamala Harris.
Yeah. Okay, Holy Spirit, we just thank you for this conversation. We thank you for just prepping our hearts and giving us the sensitivity to hear you and to understand you and to put ourselves to the side, to deny our flesh, to pick up our cross daily, to follow after you. But I just lift up our nation's leaders, those who are currently in office and those who will be elected all across the board in the next couple of weeks. Lord, I just pray that there will be an encounter in government with you, oh God, that there will be an overwhelming encounter, that those who have denied you will understand and know that you are the true and living God, that there will be a conviction that hits the hearts of the people who are running this nation, who desire to be in a position to run this nation. I lift up every member who currently has a seat in Congress and in Senate, and I ask that you flush out the wheat and the chaff and separate the two so that the wheat is the only ones that are remaining, oh God. I pray that you will do a conversion in hearts, oh God. Those who think that their policies and their power is greater than yours, oh God, I pray that you will humble them and that you will show them that you are sovereign and that you reign, and remind them of all the things that you have done in their life to get them to the position that they are currently in, and as well as those who are in Senate, who are on the Supreme Court board, and those who are running for vice president and president. I lift up I want to first lift up Kamala, and I thank you for a revival in heart. God, I thank you for showing her need for you and her spiritual poverty, oh God, and just opening up her eyes. I don't know what she's been through. I don't know what she has experienced throughout her life, but what I know that there has been an event, like all of us, that shows her need for you. And so, Lord God, I just pray that you will begin to prompt her heart, that you will begin to soften, and that you'll begin to minister to her, oh God. May she go places and be surrounded by people who are praying for her. May she be surrounded by people who are standing on your word, surrounded by people who are lifting her to follow your will and your way, oh God. I pray that those who are around her that are not of you, that are negatively influencing her, that are being used by the enemy, that their mouths will be shut, and that those, the witches and the warlocks and all the people who are negatively influencing, not just her, but everyone who is running in government, may their mouths be shut, and may they be reminded and known that you are the true living God. I lift up all talk to you, and I thank you for a revival in his life, oh God. I thank you that he is going to have a true encounter with you, and that he will also know that you are the true and living God, and that there is nothing that he can do about that. I thank you, Lord, that he is being humbled as well, and that he is understanding that his power is not the power, that it comes from you, oh God. And so, Lord, I just pray that every person who is up under his tutelage, just as they are up under a commas, oh God, that if there are any voices of the enemy that are speaking louder, if they are trying to shut out your voice, oh God, the voice of your people, I pray that they will be removed and that they will be humbled as well, and they will come to know that you are the true and living God. I thank you for peace in the hearts of your believers, and I thank you for surrounding both parties with born-again believers. And Lord, I pray that your will be done in and throughout their hearts, oh God. I pray that every word that was spoken over them from the time that you created them, from the time you placed them in their mother's womb, that those words will begin to come over, and that they will begin to see your hand at work in their lives, oh God. Even if it's in the tiniest of ways, I pray that they will not be able to escape your love for them, that they would be presented with the opportunity again and again and again to give their life to you and to walk with you, oh God. So I thank you.
And Father God, I just thank you, oh God, for this conversation and for using this election to even bring us revelation about our lives, about the body of believers, about what you're planning to do for the future, and how we even need to not underestimate other people, but know that no one, you are not a respecter of persons, oh God. You do not care who anyone else is. You do not care who anyone is. You will use them, oh God, for your glory, oh God. And so I just lift up both Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. And I just pray that, Lord, not only would you give them insight, but you would give them wisdom, oh God, to complete your will, to allow the kingdom of heaven to reign on earth, Lord Jesus. Would you turn their hearts? Would you turn the hearts of those who are around them, oh God, to impact them, to do great things for the nation in the name of Jesus? Father, I pray, oh God, that you would turn their hearts away from sin, turn their hearts away from just the anguish of man, the guilty desires and pleasures of man. And I pray that, Lord, you would turn them towards you. Father, I pray that if a Nebuchadnezzar humbling is needed, that, Lord, you would do that for them, oh God. And I pray that you would raise their heads towards you, knowing that, God, you are sovereign over everyone and everything, oh God. There is nothing that we can do outside of your knowledge, outside of your will. And so, God, as we recognize your sovereignty, I pray that the White House would recognize your sovereignty, that God, Father, God, we will be able to see that there is no other way that anything could have happened unless you approved it, unless it was in your will, unless you said yes. Because we know that when Jesus says yes, no one can say no. And when you say no, no one can say yes. So we lean on your word, oh God, and not on our own understanding. We put our eyes towards the hill. We put our eyes towards the cross, knowing that, God, you are in control. So we thank you, Lord Jesus. We lift you up. We admire you. And I pray that you would open the eyes and the hearts of the believers for those who are struggling, for those who just honestly don't care. I pray that you would reveal your word and your will to them. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
We pop off. Like, this is a time and a season where you are to also be consecrated yourself and allow the Lord to do a work in you. This is not an outward thing. We focus all of our attention on everybody else. But this is also a season where God wants to prepare the body for what is getting ready to take place. We've been saying it for as long as I've been alive and even longer that we are in the last days, but we truly are. You can look around you and you can see all kinds of signs and wonders taking place. So don't just focus your attention on this temporary election over something that's only going to matter for 4 years in the grand scheme of things. But make sure you are prepared yourself. Make sure you are right with God. Make sure your heart is right with God. Make sure you are evangelizing to your family members, that you are being the man or woman of God that he has called you to be, that you are walking in obedience, that you are listening. When he says, go stock up on this, go stock up on that, go do this, go do that. Make sure you
have it.
Make sure you are ready and prepared, and that you are not the virgin caught without their oil. Because when it's all said and done, you will not be able to go and borrow and grab and take from other people who were prepared. God is giving all of us the same amount of grace, same amount of time, and the same warnings. So take heed, be obedient, let him clean house in you as much as you're praying for it to be done to everybody else. Pray that it's done in you as well. Make sure that you are ready, because you're going to have to answer for yourself. You won't have to answer for Kamala. You won't have to answer for Tom. You won't have to answer for your mommy, your auntie, your daddy, your sister, your brother. You have to answer for you. So be obedient to God and let him use you. Shake off fear, shake off disobedience, shake off rejection, and stand on God's word.
Amen. Thank you, Krista, so much for joining us on this flight. Y'all, I told y'all there was going to be some turbulence. So if you're still shaking, I don't know. We landed. All right. So, Krista, how can we find you?
You can go and support the ministry that Sabrina, the Lord started through Sabrina, and has passed over to me and a couple of other people at Dive In Ministries. We're at Dive In Ministries on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter. We get together every Tuesday and we continually have conversations about heavy things. We don't shy away from anything. We encourage young believers to come out from being separate, to stand out and to be bold and to walk in the purpose that God has given us. So yeah, Dive In Ministries on Instagram, on Twitter, Facebook. All of our information is there.
Amen. Awesome. You guys go ahead and do that. And of course, you can find me on all platforms at SavvySpeaks01. That's Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. We will be flying again very soon. So I hope you enjoyed the flight. If you have any questions, of course, please feel free to reach out. And God bless you.
Bye. Bye.